You're listening to the CountryCast podcast.
Podcast. We are with Nashville recording artist Robbie Johnson. What's up, man? How you feeling?
Hey, Ben. I'm feeling great. What about you?
Yeah, you know, another day. I will say you're in Nashville now, right? Is that correct? Are you somewhere else?
Yeah, Nashville. Yeah. Yep.
So did you recover from that basically a blizzard according to Nashville artists a couple weeks ago?
Well, no. I mean, because I come from way up north, so it wasn't that big,
you know? Yeah,
but
yeah.
Here, I mean, they don't have all the equipment and everything to take care of it. So yes, it is like a big mess. But if that would have happened up north, it would be like,
Gosh, be nothing. We're supposed to be getting like a foot this weekend and people are kind of freaking out about it, which I'm like, I mean, a foot's a foot. You know what I mean? Come on. It's nothing at this point. You know,
it's when it melts and freezes. That's the problem.
Oh, it's
when you
so
get the
bad.
Ice and everything. But if it's only snow and it's not too cold and you just plow it and it's gone.
Yeah. Like, what's the weather right now? Is it like mid-40s, 50? Like, what? Or probably not that warm, huh?
No, it's not really warm right now. It last week a little bit, but this week it's chilly. It's really cold.
Yeah. It's funny because I work actually. I've been in New England my whole life. I work in Maine actually. I don't know if you've ever been up there. It's freaking.
Oh yeah, I'm every summer I go to Scarborough, Maine.
Are you kidding me? Oh my god.
Oh yeah, I go to Bailey's Campground.
No kidding. I love that place. Oh my god, that's hilarious. Oh my god, Scarborough is freaking fantastic. Yeah. I'm actually on the radio. That's my new job, is a country radio station up there in Portland, Maine. So if you're ever up there listening to country radio, you're probably going to hear me, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, that's cool.
No kidding. Wow, small world. That's funny. So when I read your bio, it's kind of funny because the first thing that I picked out on your bio, with all the amazing things that you've done in the past couple of months, or really just your entire musical career, the one thing that I picked out from this is that quote, it said, "You immersed yourself in U.S. television and music, and you taught yourself to speak English with an American accent." Is that true?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My first language is French.
Wow. So your primary, your French, and you had no English at all growing up type thing. How does that all work?
I started real young because my relatives are in Hartford, Connecticut, and we would go there every summer and during the holiday break.
Yep.
So there, that's where I picked up on, back then it was only MTV you know, the shows, the sitcoms and everything. And I just fell in love with the culture and the fact that, you know, you can dream big in the U.S. Yep. Anything can happen. And I stuck to that. And basically I'm here, and it's kind of a way to say, hey guys, thank you so much for everything you've given me. And now I want to give back. So I love when I'm doing shows and people are screaming and yelling and having the time of their lives. I'm like, yeah, this is working. I'm giving back now.
Yeah, I can only imagine that feeling. Well, speaking of that, you've had a lot going on the past couple of months. Brand new album released early November. Love the title song, by the way. I have to say it is one of my favorites from that album. And on top of that, you got Trying to Get Over You on rotation, world premiere on CMT. I can't even imagine how that felt when you heard that news.
Oh, it was insane. I mean, it's pretty huge to have this kind of recognition from CMT, which is, you know, that's the place you want to be.
Literally, yeah.
And the fact that they loved the music video, they loved the song, and they immediately offered, you know, to premiere it, give it a world premiere. I was the headline news on CMT.com on the 24th. That was kind of insane. And then on rotation, I mean, I was like, okay, so they're going to put me once or twice. That's going to be cool. But the first day, eight times, man, it's,
that's crazy.
It's cool. It's really cool. And I'm so happy. So thankful, you know, growing up a little bit in, I would say, in poverty and thinking that I didn't deserve more out of life, and getting this is like, wow, this is a great gift.
That's insane. Have you ever got the fame check walking down Broadway or something? Like, oh, that's the guy in the music video. Like, have you got that yet?
No, I didn't get that yet. I didn't go down Broadway.
Yeah, right, right.
For the release. Yeah, but it happened to me in the past. And it's funny, I had a camera crew that was following me for a news bit. And perfect timing, you know.
Yeah, literally.
Usually I can walk down Broadway and not many people will recognize me and stop me. And this time, just because there was a camera, it's like, oh, Ronnie Jazz. I'm like, oh, yes, this is good.
Yeah, right.
Good timing, guys.
Yes, yeah, that's so cool.
They're going to think I paid you.
Yeah, literally, right? Oh, man. So you're actually, yes, but you're in Nashville now. You made the big move. I think it was, 2013? Is that when you did the official move?
Yep.
Okay.
So yeah, 2013.
Almost 10 years. That is crazy. How's it been? It must have been a hell of a ride so far, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a process. And at first, it started really, really quick. I mean, within a year, I had the opportunity to be invited on The Late Show with David Letterman with my single South of Me. I had the music video go viral, millions of views on YouTube. And I thought, man, this is it.
Yeah. Yay!
But,
yeah.
But then you got to keep working, man.
Yeah, it's not overnight.
And, you know, you're on The Late Show, but not every American are watching The Late Show, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a small portion of the U.S. that saw me that night.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of work and, you know, radio tours and all that. So it's been a process. Everybody was telling me, Robbie, it's a process.
Yeah.
It can take 10 years, like 10 years, but it happened fast. But then it kind of, you know, I had to continue and do the things, you know, before I'm Jason Aldean, it's going to take a lot of work.
Yeah. Well,
but, you know, what's funny is that it makes me appreciate even more music that's out there, because now I truly understand how tough it is, you know, to make it and be on that level. So every time I see a major artist, I am, you know, I'm like, wow, guys.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Yeah, it's a grind. Guys and girls, I mean, that's awesome. Even harder for girls. I raise my hat to them.
Do you, because especially in this industry now, it's a definite growing industry for sure in country music, at least in the past 3 years. Do you consider your process to be different? If so, how, compared to other rising artists? Because I interview a lot of like brand spanking new artists. You've been in this industry for, oh my gosh, 10 plus years now. How would you consider yours to be unique and different from what I would say others? You know what I mean?
Well, I think everybody has their own path, mm-hmm. and everybody has their twists and turns in their stories. We've seen a lot of, you know, artists start as songwriters, getting some cuts and getting noticed and all that. For me, it's a little different. I don't have any cuts. I did pitch some music to some major artists. Unfortunately, didn't get a cut.
Right,
but I mean, the song's on my album, so
hey, whatever.
I'm
right,
happy about that. Yeah, but you know, it's, I think my story is I don't know. I never sit down and try to, you know, understand and see, okay, why, what am I doing wrong? Why is he, you know, getting all this success? And it all comes down to the music, I guess.
Yeah.
And artists that are emerging, it's the music, and they stick to what they feel is the right music for them. And I think that's the most important aspect. You know, you got a Luke Combs that was turned down by publishing, saying, your songs are just okay. You know, you should get with real writers and write some real good songs. And he's got, I don't know how many consecutive top ones with those songs. So you just got to stick to your songs and to what you believe and just be yourself. And that's what I'm doing on this record, Live Right Now.
That's the song. That's my go-to song. I love Live Right Now. Great album.
It's a great song. It's also a thank you song to the fans that come to the show. And cause it's a, you know, being on stage by myself, singing my ass, nothing's happening if there ain't a crowd out there that's reacting and just playing with me. So it's really a teamwork. So I thank them in this song, and it's really that, you know, makes us, I'm going to speak for all the artists, but it's what makes us alive, you know?
Yeah, no, no doubt.
That feeling, yeah.
So aside from music real quick, so obviously you're in a great spot right now musically. Career-wise, you're in a fantastic spot. You're exactly where you really wanted to be. You're in the heart of Music City. You're on CMT. You're basically everywhere. Aside from that, from where you are today, who is your biggest inspiration to make you get out of bed every single morning to really be the Robbie Johnson that you are today?
I think it's not just one person. It's really multiple, you know, like Eric Church, who's another one who, I mean, all the artists that made it, they all, you know, that's all what they did. You know, Jason Aldean, when he came out, had a very unique sound and he stick to it and it worked. Eric Church, I mean, everyone, even Garth Brooks back then, he was kind of, what is that guy? You know, people didn't know what he was. It was like, he's crazy, you know, but that's what we love about Garth Brooks. Yeah. It's crazy. And, you know, that's in me, it's kind of the same, you know, I just want to be myself and put out records that I think people will love to hear live. I always think about the live aspect when doing a record, when choosing the songs that will go on it. I don't want it to be the same song over and over again with, you know, just a little different here and there. So that's what I do. And that's what people get when they come to my show. I bring them in different universes.
Oh yeah.
No, it's not linear. You know, we go in different places and have lots of fun.
Yeah. Do you have like a full band? I mean, you must be pretty tight with your band type of thing. Is it just you? How does that all work?
No, I usually go out with a full band and everybody has in-ears. Everybody can move on stage
and it's
kind of jumping around crazy. Kind of, you know, I've had some critics say that I do have a little Garth.
He's
a major. He's the reason I'm in Nashville, you know, that I'm in country music. It's Garth Brooks.
Really? Yeah.
You know, and also because I love, you know, with the full band and we just tear it down.
It's funny because I was interviewing another artist a couple months ago and they said that they hate ears. And for those of you that don't know what ears are, it's basically they're monitors that you put in your ears so you can hear the entire band. And I would say, honestly, 90% of artists that I interview, they hate both ears in. Is that the case for you?
Well, I mean, it's very tricky
because
sometimes your mix doesn't give you the energy, the same energy that what people are getting in the crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes you're like, I don't know. We're not rocking, but it's rocking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it protects your voice too. But the major thing for me is I need to hear the crowd. So when you have ears, sometimes it's harder.
Yeah.
You cannot hear the crowd. So I have lots of mics, you know, that are turned towards a crowd to catch the crowd. And I need to hear him. So, and my sound guy, he knows, you know, near the end of the song, you know, he just raises the crowd so that I can hear the interaction. And I also do this with the lights. I got to see the people. Even like in a theater, when you have a big spotlight on your face, you don't see anything. You don't see no one. I'm like, no. That's not going to work for me. I got to see their reactions. I got to see the people.
Right. Wow.
I dimmed the light just the right amount so that I could see everybody.
Yeah. I've actually never heard, for all my artists I've interviewed, no one's ever really emphasized the importance of a crowd and an audience in what really matters to them. That's everything that you've really answered to has been about your fans, your audience and your crowd. And that's honestly couldn't have been a better answer. Seriously. Wow. No kidding.
Well, I mean, it's funny because of the pandemic, I didn't perform for a long time. Mm-hmm. And during the holiday break, I did a little thing, three songs, you know, at a kind of a Christmas party. And I knew I missed it, but after the last song, I started getting emotional. I was like, I didn't remember how, you know, the power. Yeah. And it's really a gift that you give to people that are listening and you're offering something. And I almost went into tears. Yeah. Well, maybe a little.
Honestly, right?
I really missed it. And I can't wait really for, you know, Alive Right Now to start a show with that song.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be.
It's been a long week. To the Lord and the stars and stripes.
chatted to your Heisman family field friends about everything they've been doing the past couple of years. Must feel pretty
good. Oh, they're excited. I mean, it's a lot of sacrifice. You know, they had to move, make new friends, yep. Learn English and all that. So it was kind of tough, but they're okay now, yep. And they're happy. And they just can't wait for daddy to be on a big tour bus with yeah. lots of semis and go across the U.S. Just do it.
Yep, I'll be at that show when it happens. I'm ready. All right, so you got your guitar with you. We're going to do I heard you want to do a live performance. You laid a single, Trying to Get Over You. I'm excited for this. We haven't done a live performance in, oh my gosh, been a freaking almost a year and a half now. So before we get into that, I ask this to every single person that comes on the podcast. You've been in Nashville, it's almost 10 years now. You definitely have a go-to bar, and I have to know what it is, whether it's a bar, a restaurant.
Oh my God.
It kind of puts you on the spot. I could name like three. Like, I know, like, you have the good old Broadways, like, when I went down there, like Jason Aldean's, the food was great. Like every freaking mixed drink was fantastic. But yeah. I couldn't name you like a sleeper bar that people really love. And I don't know. I think you definitely have it somewhere.
Well, there are so many new ones downtown. Yeah, you know, crazy. When I first got here, you didn't have the Jason Aldean's, the Luke Bryan's, yep. the Dierks Bentley, yep. the Big and Rich.
There's a Big and Rich one too? Is that a Broadway? There's a Big and Rich one on Broadway now?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Wow. No kidding.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's so many now. There's Miranda has a place. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty crazy.
That place gets rowdy.
Alan Jackson had one for a long time. But I gotta say, when I go downtown, I kind of love Dierks Bar.
Yeah, of course. Whiskey Row.
Yeah. Whiskey Row. Yeah. I kind of love that one. I don't know why. Blake's Bar is cool too. Old Red is kind of cool too.
Oh my God. Have you ever been in Old Red? Have you been in Old Red recently at all? Past couple months?
Oh my gosh. No.
The freaking they added like a second or third floor. The stairs are ridiculous to go up. Oh my God. Yeah. When you got a couple beers in you, trying to go up at like five flights of stairs, it's just not worth it. No way.
Well, I like what I like about the Whiskey Row and Old Red is the stage. It's huge.
Oh my gosh.
So you can really see, you know, nice and great performances.
Yeah.
And they take good care in the sound and everything. It always sounds great. They have great bands. Mm-hmm. They put up great bands. So I love it there.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
But outside,
yeah,
no, it's pretty much my go-to. But it's really nice. I know for people out there that haven't been downtown Nashville in quite some time, it's so beautiful now. There's this new place. Have you been to 5th and 3rd?
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
Fifth and Broadway, the restaurants, and Hattabees and all that. Oh my God, it is so cool.
Yep.
So cool.
That just came out, oh my gosh, like April of 2021, literally not even a year old. That's all brand new.
Yeah.
Damn, that's
crazy. Oh yeah, it's really nice.
That's so cool. All right, so we got Robbie Johnson. He's going to be doing a live performance of his latest single, Trying to Get Over You. He's on CMT, world premiere, just happened a couple weeks ago. Check out his brand new album if you haven't yet. he said it sounds like that sounded like a wave of confidence, so I'll take it.
Let's crash and burn.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, here's Robbie Johnson, Trying to Get Over You, his latest single.
All right, Trying to Get Over You.
Go again, holding you in my hand. Your eyes shine, lighting up my face again. It's going downtown, down the fines of me and you. It seems you go about your life, why will it happen? I'm stuck in time here, creeping and wandering. Why in the hell I keep doing what I'm doing? Trying to get over you, hanging at the bar like a shot of whiskey, waiting on a girl that can knock you right out. Up, down, up, down, hard to get a new. Climbing in my truck, going down the backseat, loving on a song from a guy who's Tennessee. Swear to God, baby, them girls don't have a clue. Trying to get over you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Try to get all you. Ooh.
come on. Robbie Johnson, his latest single.
Sorry.
Yes, sir. Wow. That is sick, dude. If I had that voice, dude, oh my gosh, I'd be.
Well, I mean, I guess that's got to be a hard part.
What's that? Just the entire everything of it, you know? How long have you been playing guitar for? Yeah, probably since you were young, right?
Actually, it's funny. I started young, but because it's kind of weird, you know? It's not like at 5 years old, I was in front of a mirror and, you know, singing and knowing I was going to be a singer.
Yeah.
It really happened late in life. You know, I played guitar a little bit when I was a kid.
Yep.
Then I put it away. Then I started playing again. And then I had a major injury with my fingers went on a saw, and I lost the tips of my finger, and it was so painful for years. Yeah. I couldn't even touch the tip of my fingers, but now it went away, and I started playing again, you know, when I was riding, but I was never kind of the, playing to be a lead guy. I'm always, you know, when I love to play and follow, because there are so many great players. I mean, on my record, I got Danny Rader. Yeah. He's a ACM musician of the year multiple times, played on 60 number one records. There's no way I can be better than Danny Rader. Yeah. So hey, you take the lead. I'll just follow you and strum along.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I'm comfortable with. But with COVID, you know, I started playing more and more. I really want, because usually when I perform live, I jump around everywhere.
Yeah.
And I don't play guitar live, but I really want to incorporate it in my live show.
Yeah.
It's just that I've been to so many shows, and you see the singer, he's behind his guitar, behind the mic, and stays there almost all night, and I'm like, it needs to be a little more dynamic.
Yeah.
So that's why I never went there, but I really want to do it on my next tour. I'm going to be playing a lot more, and so I've been COVID. The good thing about COVID is I practice a lot more, and I'm going to get there. I am going to get there, guys.
It sounds like you are. Right, though. I mean, I don't know. It's funny.
No, I mean it's not. I mean, and I'm nervous too, so that doesn't.
You like a lot of artists that I've just have been in interviews, they say that they would rather the guitar there because it's more of like a crutch for them, where they can not kind of hide behind the guitar, but they have that to hold. Where especially for me, when I perform, like I do like small gigs around here. If I were to sing without a guitar, I feel like I'd be naked. It'd be terrible.
Oh, you are. You are naked.
Yeah, literally. And it's the craziest
thing. Completely naked.
Yeah.
And so you have to, I think it's good. You know, if you want to learn how to interact with a crowd and bring them with you on a trip, you know, and have them in the palm of your hands and make them do whatever you want them to do, I think it's good, you know, to not have the guitar and not have that, like you're saying, you know. And to me, it was really good, you know, to learn how to do that, because when you don't have the artifacts and everything, you have to connect with the people and you just have that mic. So it is a challenge
when
you start that way.
What's your favorite cover song or first song that you think about when you would want to play in front of, I don't know, friends, family? Like, what's that go-to song? I always have one. I think mine's, it's actually funny. I do it at a bar. I do Sweet Caroline. Big song up here. New England song.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
That's my go-to song.
Yeah, of course. That's a big song.
Yeah, every time.
Love that song. It's love that song. But for me, I would say to get everybody going, I mean, Friends in Low Places is really, really, I mean, it's a no-brainer. I just love that song. But that's one of them.
So Garth's your guy, yeah. So Garth, it sounds like Garth's your go-to guy. Like, that's your number one inspo right there.
Well, he's the reason I'm in country music.
Really?
You know, with the dance. It's funny because when I first moved to Nashville, the first thing I did was to go meet Tony Arata, the writer of the dance. Yep. He was at the Bluebird and waited and started drinking Miller Lite because of him. He was drinking Miller Lite, and he was drinking quite a few. I was like, oh, must be good. So I tried it. I love it.
You've never gone back. But,
so I, after his set, I went to see him and I told him, hey, I'm in Nashville because of the dance, your song and all that, Garth Brooks. And at the end, he said, well, you know what? Go see my song plugger, Matt Lindsay. and tell him I sent you, and you can, you know, pick a song in my catalog. Like, Holy crap. That was,
where'd you, you saw him at the Bluebird? You were in the Bluebird, just whatever, in the suburbs of Nashville type thing. Was it a writer's round?
Yeah, it was a writer's round, Bluebird Cafe,
in
Green Hills. Yep. And I just waited till the end and just walked up to him and spoke to him. And he was like, yeah, man, I'm glad that, you know, I inspired you. And if you want to go listen to my songs, you can take a song if you want.
Yeah. Well, that is crazy. Oh my gosh. I'd feel like a kid in a candy ride or whatever you call that. Candy store.
Oh,
well,
man. When I walked out, I was in tears, because that was huge.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And,
oh my gosh.
And you know, it's crazy. Like you said, I've been here quite some time and I've had some success and ups and downs. It's being an artist, I mean, it's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you know, Maren Morris, her latest single, Circles Around This Town.
So great.
She kind of talks about that, mm-hmm. you know, where you think you made it, but you gotta keep going at it. It's never over. And so, yeah. And it's, you know, going to I had a top 18 on country radio, on the Music Row breakout chart.
Yep.
And it enabled me to do the red carpet at the CMA Awards back then.
Yep.
So insane. Yeah. Man. You feel like you're a rock star. And the next day you're at your house and you're vacuuming.
Exactly. Like, we're all just regular people. And then you can, one day
exactly.
you can be on the red carpet, but then the next you could be hanging out with family, friends, with the dog maybe.
Exactly. And I tell people that sometimes after the shows, you know, and it's funny because the favorite part of a show to me, it sounds crazy, but it's after the show when you mm-hmm. talk to people. And, you know, sometimes they're trying to put it, they're trying to put me on a pedestal. I'm like, no, I'm just like you, man. Yeah. I'm really just like you. I'm an ordinary guy.
Yeah.
That's what it is. The same thing, you know, when I decided that my name would be Robbie Johnson, my stage name, a lot of industry people in Nashville are like, Robbie Johnson. I mean, it sounds like anybody. I'm pretty sure if you Google it, there's a lot of Robbie Johnsons that, you know, come out. I'm like, yeah, exactly. That's the point.
Exactly.
I'm an ordinary guy.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, wow. That's actually great. Robbie Johnson, he is on the CountryCast podcast. Go check out his latest album released. It's only been 3 months, hasn't it been? Yeah.
It was released January 14th.
Wow.
So,
oh, my gosh.
Really fresh. I released Trying to Get Over You prior.
Well, because I saw you posted on Instagram early November. I think I saw the cover art of Alive Right Now. That's the latest album that came out. Oh, wow. Yeah. So it's... Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Brand new.
Brand spanking new. Holy crap. Okay.
Oh yeah. That's hot. It's hot. Out of the press.
No kidding. Yeah. Seriously. Wow. Go check it out if you haven't. Alive Right Now. Every single song is freaking good. He just performed Trying to Get Over You, his latest single. The music video, before we end it, I thought was honestly a fantastic concept. How does that all go down? Because it looked like we kind of got a behind the scenes on your Instagram, how a music video actually works. Who designs, I would say, the storyline for that? Is that you? Is that a director?
Yeah. Well, the storyline, it's me. I worked with Ryan Justice of Justified Films, and I just expressed, you know, my view and what I thought would be good for the video, the storyline and all that. And he has the knowledge to, you know, how to do the shots, the lighting, also the camera guy, Tim Butner. He knows everything about light, you know, the lighting and all that, and catching the great shots.
Yep.
And Ryan directed it, and I was behind and just, you know, chiming in sometimes, hey, maybe we could take this shot or have him say this or do that have him kiss and
it worked out great.
And go. And it was really, really cool. And we really caught lightning in a bottle, because we started at 3 and we were done by 8 p.m.
No kidding. Wow.
Holy crap. But it almost didn't happen. Oh my God. So the day before, I go to the bar and I ask the manager, hey, we want to shoot a music video. And you have this cool Packers bar, NFL bar right there section.
Yeah.
We'd love to use that to shoot a music video. It's like, yeah, man, he was all cool. Yeah, that would be cool, man. Yeah. We're going to love it, man. You know, and the next day I get there with the crew, the equipment.
Yep.
And the general manager is like, who? the are you and no. what are you doing here? Oh, no. No, he didn't say that. He was okay, what's happening? Well, I was like, oh, so we spoke to the manager yesterday and he gave us the authorization to shoot the music video. He's like, okay. And do you think he had the authority to do that? I was like,
what the heck?
It's the general manager that can authorize that. And I'm like, oh, and I presume you are the general manager. And he said, yes. He wasn't happy.
Oh my God. Because at that point, all the cameras are in there. You guys are in there. Everything is all set up, right, at this point?
Everything's all set up. And if it doesn't work, I mean, there's no way this can happen. I mean, we cannot find another place last minute like that. So, you know, I told him we're going to do it in the bar where it's kind of a closed section of the bigger bar. So there's not a lot of customers.
Yep.
And he was like, okay, but he wasn't too happy about it. But then we started and he Googled me.
And
he came back and now he was all smiling.
Yeah,
was like, yeah, this is cool, you know. And he was cool about it. He was like, oh, I saw that you sang with Keith Urban. I was like, yeah, on the Ripcord World Tour. He invited me twice on the stage and it was really cool. And so it was all good. But for like 15 minutes, we thought.
You thought it was done.
Okay, this isn't happening.
And who knows what would happen next? Because you couldn't find a bar last minute like that. You know what I mean? You had the whole set.
Oh no, impossible. Yeah. We wouldn't have enough time. We would have had, I don't know, the budget and everything. Yeah. So it was pretty crazy. So we were able to do it from 3 to 8.
Yeah,
and wrapped it up. Great shots, and I did the. And when you're in indie, you got to be hands on. So I did the edit of the music video. So I'm even more thrilled, you know, that it's being picked up by CMT.
Yeah,
so
no doubt.
I did a pretty good job.
Last question before I let you go. Aside from when you put the guitar down, when the microphone's down, what is the one thing you could see yourself doing hobby-wise? Like, what's your go-to hobby? You fisher? You a hunter type thing? I don't.
I love to fish. I'm not a hunter. I'm not a hunter.
Yeah.
But I just really love to
fish. Are you into like trout fishing, bass fishing? What's your go-to? I'm terrible at trout fishing. Like I'm so bad at it.
But trout fishing, bass, I would really love to try salmon. But really, it's really just find a spot fish.
Well, there's a bunch of creeks down there. I mean, there's probably a lot of big fish around you. You got a bunch of creeks down there. You got a lot of lakes, ponds. I mean,
catfish. There's a catfish that I caught, and I was with James Strout, and it was funny. It was at Kix Brooks' place in Nashville. He has a really nice pond and all that.
Yeah.
And we're fishing, and I caught a huge catfish.
Yeah.
But I broke the line. Oh. And to this day, that's years ago. And to this day, I still can't take it. I'm like, man, I had him.
Right there,
he was huge. It was huge. I couldn't take it out. Broke the line.
I've never gone catfish fishing. That's kind of, they must have some serious pull though. They're big too. I can only imagine how the pull is on that.
Yes, they're so heavy.
literally. They're just big. Their bellies are always big. That's sick, dude. All right, man. Robbie Johnson, if you haven't gone to check it out anywhere, you literally can catch him. He's on Spotify. You're on a crap ton of playlists on Spotify, by the way. Did you know that?
Yeah, I'm on a lot of Spotify playlists. Yeah. And like I said earlier, you know, it's all about the fans and they make it happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be playing my guitar all the time, everywhere. I mean, if nobody shares my music and talks about it in radio and podcasts and all that.
Yep.
Nothing happens. So thank you. Thank you very much. And thanks to the listeners and the fans out there that make it possible.
Yep.
So
no doubt. Robbie Johnson, CMT world premiere happened. Brand new album, Hot Off the Press. Way earlier than I thought. I thought it was out like friggin' 3 months ago. So
it's because that. I released Night Like This.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is a single out of the album
in
April of 2021.
Yeah.
And in November I released Trying to Get Over You.
Yep.
Which was the lead single of the album.
That's fantastic. So if you haven't checked it out, go check it out now. You can catch them on your television right now. So if you haven't, go check it out. Robbie, thank you so much again. The sky is the limit for you. I'm very excited to see what you got going on next. I can feel something's coming big, and I'm excited to see.
I hope so.
And when you do sell out every single stage in Portland, Maine, I will be there. So I'll get front row tickets. You'll save me too, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'll say you took it. And maybe I did sing at the campground, the Bailey's campground.
Did you really?
Twice. Yeah, yeah.
No kidding. All right. Well, you better remind me when I'm there because I'm always up there. So, all right, man. Appreciate it. We will see you next week on the CountryCast podcast. Robbie, thanks for being a great guest. Honestly, probably one of the best interviews we've done. So I appreciate you and everything that you stand for. And of course, as always, thanks for being here, man.
Thank you so much, Brandon. Really appreciate it. And thanks to the fans that are watching. Thanks for making it happen for me, guys.
Awesome.
And I can't wait to perform the new music live with you guys.
Yes, sir. Robbie Johnson. Have a good one, guys. Thanks for listening.